You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:40pm with Gareth Topham, Sean Quinn and John Budden in the studio. It's Newmarket, Thirsk and Foslas on Friday afternoon, Goodwood, Hamilton and Newcastle in the evening. So plenty to look forward to, so do tune in for all that. Right now, though, my name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Yeah, good, thanks, Mark.
Good man. We'll start with a little bit of news, Mick. Well, we'll take a look ahead to some of the big races coming up. So we'll start with the Irish Champion, which is coming up in about a couple of weeks, isn't it? We're likely to see, if it happens, the race that we've been promised all season, really. Golden Horn against Glen Eagles, should they both turn up, Mick. If that is the case, do you see it between the two? Because you've got the likes of Free Eagle and the Grey Gatsby in there. Sirister's Eagle, if he turns up, it would be a cracking race, won't it?
It would, and Arabian Queen might turn up as well and spoil the party again.
Yeah.
Although she does have an engagement in France in the Prix Vermeil, so I think they're keeping their options open with her, aren't they?
She was a 50-1 winner, so people disregard her performance a little bit, don't they? But
it's not as if she wasn't. It's not as if she was untested in Group One. I mean, that Nassau Stakes form is as good as there is. I'm astonished that there isn't a filly left in the ledger, because on the form book the fillies are every bit as good, if not better, than the 3-year-old colts.
The fillies are really put up to the 3-year-old.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We'll talk about the ledger as well while we're on the subject of that then. Order of St George, a warm order in the race at the moment. Was 7-1 after his win the other day, and he's now 11-4 at the top of the market. Storm the Stars 7-2, 5-1 for Bondi Beach, 11-2 for Mr Singh, 7s for Fields of Athenry, and 14s or bigger for the others. Aidan O'Brien with a strong hand in there.
Well, he's got 6 in there. There's only 2 count, aren't there, really? And that's Order of St George and Bondi Beach. Bondi Beach ran a good second in the St Voltiga, Great Voltiga, and it was only his lack of experience, I think, that counted against him that day. I wouldn't be at all surprised if he improved past it. Storm the Stars. Goodness me. At Doncaster, I think they're the two best. I mean, Phil Savathenry ran a mighty race under his big weight in the Ebot, but he had a awfully hard race in the process. You just wonder what sort of mark that's going to leave on him. I think they might be better leaving him for something like the Irish Ledger, just give him a bit longer to get over that. And the others basically aren't good enough. Giovanni Canaletto, Hobart and Outspoken, not good enough. Two French raiders, Sumbal and Von Gourmesque. Be interesting to see if they turned up. It would make the race a bit of an international flavour, wouldn't it? A bit more of an international flavour, as it were.
Yeah.
And, of course, Mr Singh, we mustn't underestimate him. Owned and bred by Lady Bamford, and that'd be a great story if Mr Singh could win it, wouldn't it?
It would. Where do you stand with Storm the Stars, Mick? Because he's had a lot of racing now,
hasn't
he?
That would be my worry. I mean, he's holding his form well, but he had to work very hard at York.
Yeah.
And, as I said, Bondi Beach, unexposed at the trip. And he would even improve for it for going up in trip.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be at all surprised if he improved past him at Doncaster.
Okay. Trip to Paris as well. We'll mention him while we're on the subject of the news. He's heading to Melbourne for the Melbourne
Cup. Yeah, it's always been the long-term plan, hasn't it? And, be interesting to see what the Australian handicapper does to him. I think he's not going to do him any favours from a handicapping point of view, but I think they knew that when they entered him. And he'll be joining his stablemate Red Caddo,
yep,
for another crack at the big race.
He's gone close, hasn't he, with no cigar really for Red Caddo.
Yeah, I think that Max Dynamite form in the Lonsdale Cup is very strong, and he did have to carry that £4 penalty there that was made the performance even better for me. And what we see is what we get with him, and he's a very good horse. So good luck to him on his trip to Oz.
Yeah. Anything else in the news caught your eye, Mick? We've got the ARC trials coming up, I suppose.
Yeah, some good entries, of course. All the usual suspects are there for the big weekend in France on September the 13th, the Prix Niel. Well, it could be Jack Hobbs is next run, couldn't it? That would be interesting to see how he's gone the right if he's gone the right way. Had plenty of time to get over his Derby exploits, and of course Harland Reel back from his jaunt across the Atlantic, etc. And of course the strong home team of Farber, New Bay, and etc. It should be a very informative Prix Niel, the Prix Vermeil, no less. The warm-up race for Trev, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And she's got Dolnay in opposition. And interestingly enough, as we mentioned earlier, the two of the star three-year-old fillies around Diamonds and Rubies and Arabian Queen are both, and Covert Love, of course. She's got an entry in it as well. So, the Prix Vermeil will tell us plenty. So, plenty to look forward to. And, of course, mustn't forget the Prix Foy, which features the older brigade, the likes of Eagle Top, Postponed, Flincher, horses like that. So that's going to be a very informative weekend in France on Sunday, September the 13th.
Yeah, I'll give us a few more clues towards the Arc. One thing that we probably won't see in the Arc this year, Mick, which is a rarity nowadays, is there's no real Japanese challenge this year, I don't think.
No, I don't know why, because we've got some really true world-class horses, maybe not just at a mile and a half, but at the moment. But I'm sure they will re-emerge, and they'll go all out until they do eventually find one good enough. And they've been unlucky not to have won it already, aren't they? Really?
Yeah. They've been unlucky this year with injuries as well. A few of the mile and a half horses.
Last year, that one of theirs, they got an awful ride, what he was thinking about. Goodness me.
Yeah, that might have been the chance.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Shall we leave that there, Mick?
I think there's I think it's all up in the air, isn't it? And when the dust settles, we'll just see how good everything is.
Let's move on. In the meantime, let's go to Friday's action. Not a bad Friday of racing either, and Mick's got four races for us, so we'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we'll be covering some of the action from Thirsk, Newmarket and Hamilton, starting at Thirsk in their 325, which is a Class 3 handicap over 6 furlongs. It's for three-year-olds and older, and just the 20 of them here, Mick, so a nice easy start.
Yeah, just the 20, but it's not difficult to fathom out a shortlist from these 20. Quite a few of these have a few questions to answer. I'll go through them in race card order. We'll start with the joint top weight, Love Island, who has got a good box in 18. She does need a career best if she's going to win this, but she's got, as I say, a good draw in 18, and she's 1-1 here at the North Yorkshire track. And she did look more like it last time. I thought her form had just dipped a little bit, which it sometimes does from midsummer onwards, but she did run well in the first time, Hood and Tongue Tie, when finishing a close third at Doncaster last time. I think she's up against it from a win point of view, but I wouldn't be at all surprised if she hit the frame. The interesting runner, number 4, Johara, trained by Chris Wall. Ashley Morgan taking off with the £3 allowance, and that could be crucial. The absence is absolutely no problem. We haven't seen her for 389 days. She has got plenty of form fresh. Mark's just crept into the 90s, hence the claim, but every chance that she will have improved again during her absence as she matures, when she was certainly improving last time we saw her, wasn't she? And I think she's a very interesting runner indeed from a decent box in 15. The selection is going to be, though, Eccleston from the David O'Mara stable. Danny Tudhope taking the ride, drawn in stall 11. Almost back to his last winning mark of 90. He runs here off 91. And there was a lot to like about his last run. He won his group on the far side in the Great St Wilfrid. And he was the only one in the first 8 on that far side, which, you know, gives you an idea of how good the performance was. You know, the other 7 were all this side, stand side. He was the only one in of the first 8 in that group over on the far side. So I think that suggests a big run. is imminent from Eccleston. And the other one worthy of a mention, and I think he's probably his biggest danger, is his stable companion, Harwood's Volante, who is back to something like his best since he switched to David O'Mara. And he's got Josh Doyle claiming the seven. And he's sort of... I think he's going to be... He's worth well worth persevering at this 6-furlong trip, Harwood's Volante. And I think he rates the biggest danger to his stable companion, Eccleston. He hasn't got best of draws, if you like, but there's nothing to stop them going up far side, as we saw at the last meeting. If they go straight away, they can win over on the far side, as long as two or three go over there. In fact, the far side won it, one of the sprints. If enough go over, you only need four or five, they can win it from the far side. So four wouldn't put me off backing him. In fact, I'd have one each side. I'd have Eccleston, who would probably come stand side. Howard's Volante, if they decide to go over there, it would be no big deal to me. And they're my two, but Eccleston gets the main vault.
Yeah, I think it's quite a wise tactic in these big sprints where you have one from either side of the track.
20 runners have been stretched right across the track. They haven't got far to go.
Yep. Nice. To Newmarket next for their 5:15. This one is a Class 3 handicap. It's over 7 furlongs and it's for the 3-year-olds. Only 5 of them in the lineup, Mick, but still quite an interesting little race.
It's a very good little race, yeah. Do it out of the top one. Field game. His mark slipped out of the 90s. He's yet to win a handicap, but he's gone very close off of 90 and he's now racing off 89. And this is his only second try at 7 furlongs. And he ran very close on his only previous start at it. Could turn out to be a good trip for him, field game. So don't dismiss him because his form profile might not be as sexy as one or two of the rivals. The vote's going to go, though, to Beardwood. Richard Fahey teams up with his old ally, Paul Hannigan, and much better than the bare result here last time when finishing sixth in a big field. This is less competitive, and he looks like he'll be well suited by this step up to 7 furlongs, the way that he's been seeing out his races. The lightly raced Beardwood gets the vote. Got to mention Chevalier, who's never stopped improving. Won 4 of his last 5 starts. The mark's crept into the 80s, but he's a rapid improver. His mark shot up from 68 to 82 since April, and he's 2 from 3 over 7 furlongs. So he's hard to dismiss, but he is up in grade here. And I'm just going to shade it to Beardwood in the 5:15.
Beardwood for Mick then in the 5:15. Moving on to the 5:50 at Newmarket next. This one is a Class 4 handicap over 6 furlongs. It's for 3-year-olds and older. 15 of them to go to post here, Mick. Where do you want to start in there?
Yeah, I'll go again in race car order. I'm convinced this is going to go north, this one, Mark. Art Obsession. Jimmy Fortune riding for David Barron. Excellent fourth in the Consolation Great St Wilfred at Ripon recently. Not beaten very far, and the sixth in that Singer came out and ran really well in a very hot similar contest at the York Ebor meeting. Not beaten very far in that at all, giving that Consolation St Wilfred a really good run. And the key thing though is that it's Art Obsession's only second run at 6 furlongs. That was his first one in that against all those battle hardened sprinters. And I think he's got a future as a sprinter, this horse. And he's the selection. Must mention Stellata. She was back to her best last time. She's crept into the 80s for the first time, but may have more progress in her and won't go down without a fight. She's got a great attitude, this filly. Very consistent. She produced a career best last time and only up 4 for that. So she's made the shortlist. She hasn't made the final selection, but she won't be far away. The danger is Jan van Hoof. He disappointed at Goodwood, but maybe just, I don't know, the track wasn't to his liking. But he ran with the penalty at Goodwood. He ran off 86 with the penalty at Goodwood, and he's back to 80. And he's very much unexposed at 6 furlongs. He's 1 from 1 here at Newmarket, and hugely respected as for one so lightly raced. And I think he's got a very strong hand in this, Richard Fahey, to take this with his old ally Paul Hannigan and complete a double at Newmarket. Of course, we went for Beardwood in the 5:15. So he might win the last two races on the card, Richard Fahey. And his runners down there have been running with credit all year, haven't they, at Newmarket? They had stacks of winners at Newmarket, Richard Fahey. And if Jan van Hoof can get the better of Art Obsession, he might be able to add to that. But I do think it's between the two. I'm giving the vote to Art Obsession, but I'm very conscious of Jan van Hoof's credentials. The other one, very well worth of a mention in a very tough little contest, is Flying Fantasy. Hasn't been seen for 70 days since leaving Willie Haggis, where he was campaigned almost exclusively at 7 furlongs and a mile. Now with Stuart Williams, he's got a good profile fresh. This is his first start for Stuart, and interesting that they've dropped him back to 6 for his first start for them. Just watch out if any money comes for Flying Fantasy, and he's run well here at the track as well on the July course at Newmarket. So very interesting runner. Good four, I think, in against the field. There, Art Obsession, Stellata, Jan van Hoof and Flying Fantasy. And it wouldn't be at all surprised to me if they're the four who slugged this one out. Good contest, that.
It is. Can we pity down to one of them?
Yeah, I'm going to stay with Art Obsession. I was so impressed with him on his first start at 6. But I could have just as easily gone for any of the others. You know, but I did like the way he stuck to his tie. He's a very good horse, Art Obsession, and they may well have found his proper trip now. So he gets the vote in a very good race.
Yeah, good race. Look forward to that 5:50. The 7:30 at Hamilton's not bad either. This is a Class 3 handicap. It's the Lanark Silver Bell. It's over a mile and a half. It's for three-year-olds and older. Nice field of 15 here as well, Mick. Several of them arriving good, Nick. The likes of Gwan and Oscar Denarius chasing the hat-tricks. Polarisation is in winning form as well.
Fantastic. Yeah, I'll go again. I'll throw them in race card order, the ones that made the shortlist. We'll start with Trendsetter, Ian Brennan riding for John Quinn. He's got to within £3 of his last winning mark, and coming back to a more suitable, probably a more suitable trip. He's run over a mile and 6 the last twice. He has won over that trip, but it was in Class 5 at Redcar, and it probably didn't have to really dig in deep that day. As I say, he's coming back off a very disappointing run last time at Nottingham. That wasn't nothing to do with the trip. That was just too bad to be true. So he's got to put that behind him. But if we can forgive him that, and there may have been something gone wrong, I don't know. I didn't hear an explanation. But he's certainly back to more like his trip. The stable have having a bit of a rejuvenated spell at the moment, aren't they? And as I say, he's close to winning mark. So he's made the shortlist. The vote's going to go to Gwan, though. No stranger to this grade. Chasing the hat-trick, Andrew Mullen for Michael Smith. He's one off higher and here at Hamilton. This is his first start at 12 furlongs, which is interesting, isn't it? But I think he may well need it these days. It took him a long time to get there over the trip at Ayr. That was 10 furlongs, but he only got up in the last stride, suggesting to me that there's plenty more to come as he steps up in trip. This is his first run here at Hamilton, but he has run well at similar tracks with stiff uphill finishes, such as Leicester and places like that. So I don't think the track's going to be a problem for him, and he's going to get the vote. Polarisation, he's won 3 of his last 6. He needed every inch of the mile and 6 to win the Melrose at York last time, and the £6 he's gone up is less of a concern than the drop back in trip, the way that he ran at York. He was never on the bridle at York. How he's got up to win that, I just do not know. He's yet to back up, though, in his career, and his profile suggests that will remain so. And you mentioned Oscar Denarius, only his 7th start. Suddenly found improvement when he tackled soft ground conditions at Chepstow. He got the race in the steward's room, admittedly, but then next time he went to Windsor, and he was an absolute revelation, won by no less than 8 lengths. Mark up to 80 now, and up 2 grades. But he may well get the easy ground that he clearly likes, and he's obviously turned a corner. So he's got to be respected, Oscar Denarius. I think he's going to take a chunk out of the market, stepping into unknown territory. And I think the more reliable grade 3 performer, Gwan, is a safer option. But it's a tough race.
It is. It's another tricky race.
Very good. Some good stuff on Friday, Mark. Mm. It's some really good competitive racing. All over. I mean, we could have done four more like this without a shadow of a doubt. You wouldn't have said scratching around for a good race to preview. There's stacks of these tomorrow.
Yeah,
on Friday.
Good Friday to look forward to. So let's have a quick summary, Mick, if you'll spin us through your selections in these four.
Yeah, we'll start with the 3:25 at Newmarket. Very competitive handicap at Thursday over the 6 furlong trip. Should be a quarter of the odds 1-2-3-4 race as well, hopefully. Eccleston gets the vote there for David O'Mara and Danny Tudhope. And I'm hoping to see the same colours carried to success in the 5:15 at Newmarket. This one trained by Richard Fahey, Paul Hannigan on board, Beardwood, who was much better than the bare result he showed last time, and that was in a much bigger field. I think he'll find this smaller field to his liking, especially as he's stepping up in trip. And in the 5:50, I think this will go north. The north have got a very strong hand in the shape of Art Obsession, who was only having his second run over 6 furlongs after running so well in the Great St Wilfrid Consolation race at Ripon last time. And I think his main danger is going to be Jan van Hoof from the Fahey team, who was disappointing at Goodwood, but had been in great form before that. And the final race that we're going to look at is again up the north, and up at Hamilton, the Lanark Silver Bell, a really good competitive line-up here. Going to be 14 runners to go to post. Crannock already declared an absentee. And I'm going with Gwarn to complete the hat-trick. Trying a new trip, but it looks to me as if he's crying out for it.
Good stuff. Thank you very much, Mick. Good luck and enjoy on Friday.
Okay, Mark. Thank you.
There you go. The thoughts of Mick Norton on Friday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. Gareth Topham, Sean Quinn and John Budd and the team in the studio. It's Newmarket, Thurscombe, Fosslass on Friday afternoon. Goodwood, Hamilton and Newcastle will provide the action in the evening. A good day to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.